My friend, you are in for such a treat today, and I have been so excited to introduce this guest to you. Her name is Jennifer Dukes Lee. She's a speaker, author, former reporter, mother, and Jesus follower, and she recently released a super fun and quirky and creative guided journal titled Stuff I'd Only Tell God. When I tell you I've never seen a journal like this one, I truly mean it. Jennifer does an incredible job of creating space for us to reflect on our deepest feelings, fears, hopes, and dreams, while also giving you permission to release your whole self into the hands of God with this guided journal. You're going to love hearing from Jennifer just as much as I loved getting to talk with her. She's honest, she's full of wisdom, she's a breath of fresh air, and she's so funny. Towards the end of the interview, she actually asked me a few questions on the spot from the journal, and we definitely had some laughs with that. So I encourage you to just lean in and enjoy this episode with Jennifer Dukes Lee. Hey mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together.
Are you looking to give your child a well-rounded education while ensuring positive socialization opportunities and their ability to succeed in life? Consider joining Classical Conversations Community and homeschooling alongside local families. Led by a trained licensed director, families learn through Classical Conversations' proven Christ-centered curriculum together in a community. With locations in all 50 states and over 50 countries, there is bound to be a community near you. To find yours today, visit classicalconversations.com/joy.
Jennifer, thank you so much for coming and being with us here on the podcast today. I am just so thrilled to get to talk to you, and I cannot wait for this conversation.
Well, I'm excited too. We got to talk a little bit offline beforehand and get to know each other. And I feel like if we didn't live half a country away, we might be good pals.
Yes.
If you lived here in Iowa, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I love getting to bring on seasoned mamas who are kind of in a different stage in that, like, parenting adults stage, because I just think it's really special to get to hear just wisdom and perspective from kind of moms who have gone before and, you know, been in the trenches, because a lot of the listeners of this podcast we're all in the trenches and we're in the younger season of motherhood. And so I love getting to hear from women like you who are in a different season now. And so I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about you, about your family, anything you need us to know. Tell us all about you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's so weird to hear you say from somebody parenting adults. I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, oh yeah, I am. Like, how did that suddenly happen? But it's true. Like, Anna turns 19 next week and Lydia is 21, and we gave them roots on this Iowa farm, but we also gave them wings. Mm-hmm. So when they flew the nest, they flew the nest, because Anna is headed to Guatemala for 2 months.
Wow.
That's where she'll be spending her summer on mission. And our other daughter is studying in Oxford in the UK right now. And then as soon as she gets home, she's headed to Colorado for an internship. And so Scott and I have, my husband is Scott, we've found ourselves like, now what?
Yeah.
Like, what? How do we operate this way? Because like the last 20 some years, we've been on the bleachers and, you know, mm-hmm. selling Girl Scout cookies, yeah. and on the prom committee and, you know, all those things, like going to band competitions. It's like, what is this? But it's a rich time. It's really cool. And to the young moms listening out there, man, just like all those little things that you're doing right now, it all matters. All of the little things matter. And you just don't see it because it's just the mundane and it doesn't seem like it matters. But I'm on the other side of it now that I'm like literally parenting adults, as Jenna reminded me. And I get to see that it, you know, that the fruit is there. Mm-hmm. So just keep going, mamas. And that's from a seasoned mom in Iowa. That's where we live. Scott and I are on our fifth generation family farm.
Wow.
So Lee farmers have been farming this ground since 1870.
Oh my goodness.
Which is so wild. And it's really cool to be a part of food production industry. We're growing corn and soybeans and pigs. And while he's planting seeds in fields, I plant seeds with words.
Hey.
So I'm a book writer. I love writing books and Bible studies. I'm very active on social media. I absolutely love writing like daily devotionals or encouragement mm-hmm. on Instagram and Facebook. So it's a good life, this planting of word seeds. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a little bit about me.
I love that. I've followed your work for a while now. And so it's so special to get to have you here on the podcast and to get to chat with you. And you have a new book that you just released, a guided journal, Stuff I'd Only Tell God, which I have started diving into it. And it is not for the faint of heart. And it is so, so good. And I love that it's a guided journal. And so you obviously, to be releasing a guided journal, you are super passionate about journaling yourself. So how did you get started journaling?
I started journaling in first grade. I had a Sesame Street notebook with lined paper in it. And the words make no sense because basically what it is me trying to pretend write in cursive, like making all these little loops and maybe spelling out a few words that I knew. But I've always just loved the idea of sitting down with pen and paper and seeing what comes out, even when it sometimes doesn't make sense. And sometimes now that I'm 51, it still doesn't make sense. I feel like I'm making loop-de-loops in Sesame Street notebooks. But then I graduated to my Pac-Man Book of Secrets in fourth grade. And man, that thing is so funny to look back on and see, you know, like who I had a crush on and how I hated the school lunches and how I was the last kid picked for recess kickball and, you know, all that nonsense. And then as I grew older, my journaling has developed to the point where I am now. And before I wrote Stuff I'd Only Tell God, I have to be candid. Journaling was difficult for me in the sense that I would be overwhelmed when I opened a journal to a blank page. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to write? And, you know, I could do like kind of guided journals, like a prayer mm-hmm. journal. Like I knew what I was supposed to put in my prayer journal, prayers. Yeah. I knew what I was supposed to put in my gratitude journal, gratitude stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I can do that. But the idea of, I had this idea that journaling in this more traditional sense had to look like Instagrammable in a way.
Yeah.
Like it had to be pretty mm-hmm. and flow and be poetic and all of those kinds of things. And instead, it just felt like a bunch of bulleted lists and random thoughts, which it turns out counts as journaling. Mm. But I knew that if I, a professional writer, was struggling at times to figure out what to write, then how about other people who just decided, you know what, I don't know what to say, so I'm just not going to say anything at all. Mm-hmm. And that's what people do. You know, they just are like intimidated by it. They don't know that it's worth the time, the energy, or just that I just don't know what to say. So I created a guided journal. And a guided journal means it's not a journal with blank pages. It's a journal where I ask you questions. I have prompts in there. And they run the gamut, everything from, you know, the worries you carry, the fears you've had, the scars on your body, the scars on your heart, people that you can't forgive, people who make you laugh, the weird, quirky things that make you, what you think about the Bible, what you think about God, what you think about dying. I mean, like everything that I could possibly think of in terms of a question or a pondering in my head, I put it in that journal. And it has been so cool to see people responding, like so cool to hear other people who struggled with journaling saying, I am doing this and it's hard and it's also fun, but I am doing this. So like, Jenna, I'm so excited like to know that you're doing it. And I think you might be a journaler anyway, but like you said that it's been deep. Like I'm like, would you be willing to share? I'm just so curious.
Yeah, I'm actually not a journaler. I have always wanted to be a journaler, and I've always felt like I have the personality of a journaler. Like I'm really introspective, and you know, if I'm in a crowd, I'm kind of like the quiet observer a lot of the time. But I'm one of those people that you described that I have so many journals that have like the first 5 pages filled and nothing else, because I'm like, sticking to habits is hard for me. Sticking to routines is tough because I'm like squirrel brain a little bit. And also I just would open up a journal to a blank page and feel like, what am I supposed to write? Like what, like you said, like yes. This isn't pretty. This isn't like, I feel like I relate so much to what you were talking about with like, this is just lists, or this is just, or I would always just end up like, instead of a journaling what's inside me, like I'll just write a prayer instead. Like that feels comfortable. Like I can just write a prayer. I'll just turn this into a prayer journal, or I'll just write about something that I read in my Bible instead of like journaling about my thoughts and my feelings and the things that I'm going through and all of that. And so, yeah, I've never really been a consistent journaler, although I've always wanted to be. And I know that, like, I know I've heard people talk about all the amazing benefits of journaling, but I just have never been one to stick with it. And so I just started Stuff I'd Only Tell God, and I'm in the very beginning still, which is all about, like, people in your life. And that, like, I found myself having almost a physical reaction to some of the things that I was writing. Like, my chest was, like, starting to feel tight, like, going back to different relationships or people that it's hard to go back to and think about those people, or people that I've lost, or people, you know, that have hurt me, and processing through all of that. Like I was sitting on my couch because I just like pulled it out during nap time and I was like, oh, la-di-da, I'm just going to start this. And then I quickly realized like, oh no, this is some deep stuff. And I was really surprised that I was having like a truly physical reaction to the emotions that I didn't even know that I still had towards some of the names that I was writing down. And so I'm really excited, a little bit intimidated, but excited to keep going through it. And hopefully it'll make a journaler out of me, because it's always something that I've wanted to be.
That's such an interesting testimony, and thank you for sharing that. You know, I mentioned this before we went live. This book is just out there. And so when I'm writing the questions, I know how hard my answers were, but I have no idea how this book is going to meet people wherever they are. And there's plenty of silly things in there too, and quirky things, and things that, you know, you can turn a page and just feel like you can laugh.
Yes.
But that people part for me was also hard. Like when I was writing down the names of people who have influenced me for better or worse, there's that whole first section, right? There were people's names that I just didn't know if I could write down.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know if I want that name in front of my face. Yeah. I don't know if I want it in my journal.
Like that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like even that act was saying something to me. And, you know, I keep telling people, don't write it down then. You don't have to write anything down. Like nobody's looking over your shoulder. This is the stuff you'd only tell God. But I also think that we're learning something about ourselves. For the reasons why, you know, the places that have hurt in the past. And like, that's an opportunity to come before God to say, you know, I thought that I had healed from this, but God, I still need you to come into that place because I'm not fully healed yet. Come help me with that and with that person,
yes,
which I hope is healing for people.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally had a moment like that too. There were a few names where I took pause and I was like, do I really even go there? Like, do I really even want to open up that can of worms? Because I can say that I thought that I healed, but really I think when I get to the root of it, I just put it in a box and like stuffed it. And I don't want to have to face those feelings. But true healing is being able to see a name or being able to write a name and it doesn't affect you and you don't feel all those things. So yeah, I'm already really grateful for just the process that the journal walks you through. And I've never experienced a guided journal like this. Like you said, I've done prayer journals and gratitude journals, and that's easy and fun. And like you said, there's a lot of fun in this journal too. But I love the way that you've set it up to really be like a holistic experience, like going into the deep stuff and also the fun stuff and just kind of getting to know yourself again. And I think that as adults, we know ourselves so intimately, and it's so easy to like know ourselves as when we're children and when we're young. But I think it's easy over time to kind of lose those pieces of ourselves that made us who we are. And so I've just really loved it, as even though there's been parts that have been difficult, I've loved getting to go back to like who did influence me as a 14-year-old, as a 7-year-old, who were the people who really made a difference. And a lot of the names that I wrote down caused me to smile and feel a lot of joy and feel a lot of gratitude for those people in my life. So yeah, it's been really, really cool so far.
Yeah, I put a page of my journal on my Facebook and it asked about a childhood friend that I really loved. And I put that page on. It had a bunch of other childhood things. And so she screenshotted it and reached out to me and said, I want you to know how much that meant. Oh, I mean, just like putting somebody's name down in the answer to that question. And she'd been going through a really hard day and just felt like she hadn't been seen or known and just really been struggling with some hard things. And so just that simple act of me remembering her, writing it down, mm-hmm. putting it on Facebook, and then her seeing it. I mean, it's like, that's the kind of fruit, like the things that only God can do, right? Like
absolutely.
When we just get honest before mm-hmm. him, it's so cool. It blows my mind.
Yeah, I love it. So I would love for you to share with us, what are some of the benefits of journaling? I know we've talked about like our own personal experiences, but just overall, like what are some of the benefits of getting into a regular journaling practice?
Well, I am not a therapist or a counselor, but therapists and counselors are repeatedly asking their clients to journal to help them process their feelings. Just even the example you gave, like you just put it in a box and then you don't have to deal with it. But all of that eventually has a way of coming up and out.
Right.
And, you know, maybe then we're like yelling at the kids, or maybe, you know, viewing a relationship in an unhealthy way because something that we didn't deal with 10 years ago or 20 years ago is still hanging around the edges of our heart. And so journaling is a way to process our feelings and to have also more empathy toward ourselves for how we've viewed the world. There's a lot of empathy that comes in, you know, writing letters to yourself and looking back on previous versions of yourself and realizing, man, they made some decisions that got me where I am today. And it was hard. And that person, that younger version of Jenna, she made some decisions that really influenced the woman that she is today. And man, maybe I'm going to be proud of her, right? And so that there is that therapeutic aspect of it too. And then the other thing is our minds are just so full of thoughts and ideas and worries and opinions. And journaling has a decluttering effect. So it's as if you're doing a brain dump into a journal that just says, I'm going to lay this here. In our worldview is not just laying it on paper, but we view it as laying it before the Lord. It's saying, I need you to take this, right? And then the other thing that it does is it helps you to remember things that you want to remember. different stories that I've told in my journals or that I've told in my books or that I've just jotted down on the notes app in my phone are the stories of my life that I remember and that I can recall later and become the story of my life that I pass on to like my children. And so the things that I don't write down, there's so many memories of my life that I wish I had written down. Like, I regret that I don't have a very good memory of my wedding day anymore.
Yeah.
Like there's so many things that I was feeling and experiencing. I mean, I know like the color of the dresses and I know the flowers that we carried and the music that was played and those kinds of things. But like that inner work that was being done on a really important day in my life, I don't have it written down. I don't have it written down like what it was like to hold my first child or my second child. I don't have it written down what it was like to send them off to school. I wish I did. It just seems at the time like you're not going to forget it. But journaling is a way of saying, I want to remember this. This is important. So it doesn't have to be all like the big, deep, heavy stuff, like the stuff you got to surrender to the Lord. Sometimes it's just cool things that have happened in your life and it's worth recording. It really is.
Yeah, I can totally relate, and I'm not even like that far removed from my wedding day, but I still, there are details that I already am starting to like, I think because it's just such a big day and your emotions are kind of on overdrive anyways, that it's like your brain, it doesn't remember all the details. And I still feel, even now, I feel like there's already things that I'm like, I don't fully remember what happened there. And yeah, I agree. I totally have a lot of these key moments, like all of the firsts with my kids. And I'm like, gosh, if I would have just started, journaling, I would have all of that. But I also can have grace and for myself and go, okay, but if I started now, like I'll look back, I still 100%. Have a lot of life to live. And so I just feel even more encouraged to start journaling. But I just, for so long, I've been really tempted. I've avoided journaling, and I know that a lot of people are in that boat too. Even though we know its benefits, even though we know that it's good for us, so why do you think that we have this temptation to just avoid the journaling practice?
I think that one reason is because we don't know what to say, and we don't think that we have anything of value to say. We believe that journaling is supposed to look and sound a certain way, and that journaling is the act of creatives and the act of writers. I think we avoid it because we're busy.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of things to do. And like, what value is there in sitting down and writing a few sentences that somebody may or may not see? Is it really going to work? I mean, there's natural skepticism to it. I know, I've been there. I've, you know, that gone long periods of my life without intense journaling, and have thought all of those kinds of things. Only until it's kind of like one of those things that you don't know until, just like if you've been eating junk food all your life and then you start to eat healthy or you start to exercise and you realize, wow, I feel really different. Yeah. I feel different now. I mean, the same is true of journaling, because it has therapeutic effect. It's a healthy action that brings you closer to the Lord. And I think too, you know, I opened the Bible right smack dab in the middle is the Psalms. And that's like David's journal.
Yeah, really dope.
Yeah, I feel like I'm reading his private journals, right? And so he was at his lowest points, like hiding in caves, feeling like people were going to kill him, and he had enemies around every corner. And he's writing his deepest, darkest, hardest thoughts to the Lord and crying out to him. And so I think the Psalms models to us the value of writing it down, so much value to it, in fact, that we repeat those Psalms in this era, in our generation, thousands of years later.
Yeah. That's such a good point about David and the Psalms. I've always kind of looked at it like a journal for sure, but I've never really made that connection of like, well, there's the value in it. Like, there's why we should have a consistent journaling practice. So I would love it if you could speak to, like, for a mom specifically in this season of motherhood that is, you know, a lot of times running on no sleep, you've got littles, it can be easy to make excuses and feel like, I don't have time, life's way too busy. Could you speak to, like, how do we start specifically in this season? What are some tips? What are some tools? Where's a good place to start if we've really never journaled before, but we want to get started?
Well, I think that, I'm not going to mention my journal, although I'm going to get there. Yes. But at first, I think a good way to start for anybody is really to start a list of things that you're grateful for, because the way that our brains work, we have a negativity bias. So we're naturally scanning the environment for negativity. It's based on the way that, years ago, many, many generations ago, we were in a more vulnerable environment where, like, we couldn't just assume that the rustling in the bushes was the wind,
right?
Because it might be a tiger, right, who was going to leap out and eat you. And so, like, the negativity bias would literally save your life, mm-hmm, in the same way that negativity bias would have you getting out of a scary dark parking lot, mm-hmm, if there was some creepy guy in it, right? So the negativity bias can serve us well, but what happens is we apply the negativity bias to our everyday lives.
Yeah.
And we think, I'm not a very good cook, or I still haven't lost those last 10 pounds that I've been meaning to lose, or I just feel like I'm not the wife that I'm supposed to be, and God must really be disappointed in me because I never read the Bible like I used to, or whatever, mm-hmm, it is, you know?
Yeah.
So then the negativity bias is just boom, do, 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 like knocking at us all the time. A gratitude list is training your brain to stop seeing the negative, and you begin to scan your environment for the positive things in life. So if you know you're keeping a gratitude journal, your eyes are more attuned and aware of every little thing you have to be grateful for. Whether it's a goldfinch on the bird feeder, whether it's the fact that your little one just learned how to do the pincher thing, you know, where they grab like the food, yes, with their forefinger and thumb for the very first time, and it's so darn, yes, cute. Or the face that they made when they tried that food that was just did not go well, when you like maybe gave them a dill pickle, or, you know, whatever weird thing you like to do to your kids. I kind of did that kind of thing. But like, all those things become gratitudes. Mm-hmm. They become the things that you get to count as joy. And that would be a great place for anybody to start. Another place that you could start as a mom, something that I do, is that I pray the scriptures over my children. So I have a journal where I have the scriptures written down, and I'm praying those for my kids. And I've been doing that for a really long time, since they were little, praying for them to have humility, praying them to follow the Lord, praying for them to serve the Lord with their whole heart and soul and mind and being. And, you know, all of those prayers, praying the scriptures over your kids, that's just never going to be a waste of time. It's always worth the effort, just a few jotted lines a day. And then, of course, if you're interested in a more, you know, a broader holistic thing, I mean, this is a self-care tool.
Yeah,
stuff I
sure
didn't tell God is a self-care tool that you deserve. And so it's a place where you can just open up. I talked to another young mom who's doing this. She says, I read the Bible for about 5 minutes a day, and I have my stuff I'd only tell God there, and I open it up and I answer one question. Mm. And so that question might be something like this: my life is valuable because. So I'm like randomly opening it up, right? It might be this: I would survive a zombie apocalypse, yes or no? So you never know what you're going to get, right? Like, that's literally a question in the journal. It might be something like, these are the things I want to do before I die, before I kick the bucket. It's called the bucket list. So then you write things on your bucket list or your anti-bucket list. I mean, just one question a day. And it's just fun. It's an activity. It's something that maybe you can do with your spouse, or if you have kids that are a little bit older, mm-hmm, you could do it with them and ask them the questions, like over dinner, which could be super fun and hopefully a healing activity for you at the same time.
Yeah, I love that you've started going through your journal, because that's what I want to get into next. Is I want to just kind of, if you could, take us through what we can expect inside Stuff I'd Only Tell God. I know that The tagline is courageous honesty, obsessive truth telling, and beautifully ruthless self-discovery. And I just love that so much. And I would love for you to just kind of give us a peek inside, give us some insight into what we can expect, because it already, from what you've shared with us, just sounds so amazing.
It's so fun. It is so fun. I had a blast writing this thing. So it starts out with an introductory letter from me that just tells you how to use it. So you don't have to go into this blind. I give you some instructions. And then it's split up into seven sections. And the first is me and my people, which we talked about at the beginning of this podcast recording. And you think through people who have influenced you, and then you're asked hundreds of questions about people in your life. And sometimes the answer will be the same person, but it's super fun, super powerful activity. And the reason I started with people is because there's a lot of things that affect who we are, our DNA, where we were born, all those kinds of things, our characteristics, but hugely we are influenced by the people around us. And so that's why I started with our people. And then we move into me and my past, and you explore your past, everything from your favorite childhood lunch to your favorite childhood songs to your favorite teacher to things in your past that have been hard and regrets that you have about your past. And you process through those things as you move through that. Then you go into me and my right now. So that's like a section where you really embrace the present and pay attention to your life at the moment. And next up is me and my weird ways, which was super fun to write because it's just a bunch of quirky things that make you you. And the reason I wanted that there is because part of my goal is that people would embrace the way God made them and enjoy the quirky, non-cookie cutter way that you are. So super fun section. And then right after that is a deep dive into as honest as I've ever been. Mm. And that's the deepest part of the book. Maybe one of those parts that you just want to pop in and out of every so often. It might be pretty intense to stay in that section for days on end. And then you would go on to me and my future, where you think forward and you think about your dreams and your hopes and your plans and your dream vacations. And what does my dream house look like if I were to have it? You know, even like I have a whole section on heaven, like what do I think heaven's going to be like? Who might be surprised that I'm actually in heaven? What's going to be on the 24-hour buffet of heaven? What Bible characters do I want to talk to when I get to heaven? I mean, everything I could think of, I dumped into this journal, and it's got literally thousands of questions, but it's not just to write them down. I mean, there is a purpose. My hope is that people would walk away changed, mm-hmm. that they would come away from this feeling like I just told a bunch of stuff to God and I feel closer to him than ever before. He wasn't intimidated by it. He wasn't freaked out by the stuff I had to say. He embraced me. I mean, he made me the way I am. And also by the end of the journal, my hope is that people would be able to treat themselves more empathetically and see what a beautiful, beautiful person they are. And also to treat other people more empathetically, knowing that they've gone through really hard things too. They've had fears, worries, regrets, scars, all the kinds, same kinds of things that you do. So I imagine that if somebody were to fill this out in 2023 and they picked up another copy in 2025, their answers may vary. Yeah. Which I think is pretty exciting too. And so that's a challenge that I have to the reader as well, as do it again, mm-hmm. do it again.
Yeah, I love that. And I love what you said about how it's not just a journal to be able to write stuff down, but it's actually a process that's going to make you closer to God and more empathetic towards yourself. I love that so much because I think that sometimes it can be easy to view journaling as just that, like I'm just writing stuff down, this is all I'm doing, like, or if I only have, I think I feel this thought a lot of, if I only have 10 or 15 minutes, why would I spend that time writing about myself? If I'm going to spend time, like I'm going to be reading my Bible for that time, or I'm going to be, you know, journaling about or writing down about something I've read in my Bible, or if I'm going to spend 15 minutes of devoted time, the journaling about our thoughts and our feelings and our day and about our life feels like almost an afterthought. a lot of the times because it can feel like, oh, well, this other thing is more important. Like, I don't really need to write about my life. But I love the perspective that it actually, through that process, brings us closer to God and closer to ourselves. That's a really beautiful perspective.
That's always my hope with anything I write, whether it's a book or a Bible study, or now in this case, my very first guided journal, is if it's not going to bring you closer to God, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. It is the heart of who I am. And this is just a little bit more surprising way. But it's honestly, Jenna, answering questions, the questions that God has had for me over the years, answering the questions that Jesus has for the disciples and other people in the Bible, mm-hmm. like answering questions like, do you want to get well? Or why did you doubt? Like, those are questions Jesus asks. Like, I have those in the book too. It's in a section called Conversations with Jesus. I mean, that's really powerful mm-hmm. work. It's having a conversation with Jesus. It's having a conversation with God. And it's been incredibly encouraging to my own heart to go through that process and see how something, it's really been life-changing for me as a person who had a lot of questions about God. I was agnostic. I wasn't sure what I thought about him. I wasn't sure if I could even have doubts. And then to come before God with all of my doubts and all of my questions and have him answer them all without ever like turning away from me, it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. God is so good and he just embraces us, questions and all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I love what you said about not knowing if you could doubt, not knowing if you could even have doubts or have questions, because it's really easy to view God as just this kind of one-sided thing, one-sided relationship where, okay, if I have a question, I'm supposed to just read the Bible. And yes, like that is very true, but also God wants to be in relationship with us and he wants to be in community with us and we're his children. Like he wants us to ask him questions. I just think about my kids. My oldest is almost 5 and he's getting really curious and he's really in a like facts stage right now. Like he just wants to know everything about everything. And like the answer to a question just provokes another question. And a lot of times I think it's so fun and I get a lot of joy out of being able to see him, his perspective of the world just grow and his brain, like just seeing him processing in real time these answers to all these questions that I'm giving him. And you know, he'll just like, why is that bird making that noise? Oh, well, because of this. Well, why is this happening? Oh, because of this. And it's just, to me, it's so special and cool to watch. And I love thinking about that because I know that that's how God feels about us when we're asking our questions and when we're, you know, coming to him with all of these things. Like, he's not intimidated by it. He's not like shaming us for it. He finds joy in being able to be in community with us. And so I love that you mentioned that.
Oh, good. I love your story too. I have still, now she's 21 and she's still like that. Like one question led to another. And it's so fun and so exciting. And it sounds like you're handling it so well. I love it.
I'm just trying to keep the joy because that's what I'm holding on to. And I'm just, holding on to the fact that I know that he'll grow to be a big problem solver because question askers are often problem solvers. I would love to know just what encouragement do you have for someone who is maybe wanting to start journaling, but might be a little bit intimidated by it. What encouragement do you have?
Well, you know, just kind of like what I mentioned before about you don't know what you're missing until you start it. And, you know, if you've been eating a bunch of junk food and then you have healthy stuff and you realize, oh, I feel a lot better. And I think the same is true for journaling. If you just try it a little bit and see what it's like, I think that you'll find that it's really refreshing. And my encouragement would be not to overwhelm yourself and think I've got to fill up a page or I have to do it every day or that it has to look pretty with nice penmanship and something that I can put on an Instagram post later. None of those things matter. Lists count as journaling. Bullet points count as journaling. Just writing down, here's 10 things that I need to let go of in my life, or here are areas where I struggle with control. Or, I mean, you know, those are the kinds of questions I have in the book so that you don't have to think up what to write. But, you know, just putting pen to paper, it's like thinking on paper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, taking those memories again that are just so precious as a young mom, and taking time to write them down, considering it almost like a little time capsule. I remember more with our first daughter. I wrote down like all these fun words that she would say, like, 'cause she was very verbal as a baby and into her toddlerhood, and just going, I'm like, I'm so glad I did that. And to see how she said words and the funny ways that she spoke. And I mean, if I had not had that, there is no way I would remember it. So wherever you're at in the journey of parenting, just be encouraged and think, yes, this is a little bit hard, but I am doing a favor for my future self.
Yes, absolutely. That's such great advice, such great encouragement. I have so loved getting to just chat with you about journaling, and hear about your story, and hear a little bit about Stuff I'd Only Tell God. Do you have any last thoughts or things you want to share with us before we go?
I think just to have fun with it too. And, you know, like, yeah, I'd love to ask you a couple questions. Ooh, on it, okay. Actually, just to show you what I mean. All right. Okay. So, for instance, the question that I asked randomly a little bit ago, would you survive a zombie apocalypse? Yes or no?
I think yes, because I know people.
That's exactly what I
think. Yes,
say.
Because of the people that I know. My parents live 2 minutes away from us, and so I would run. We could make it by foot to my parents' house, where my dad is like survival man. Like, he could win Survivor, and so I, left to my own devices. I mean, I can solve problems, but left to my own devices, I don't know that I could survive a zombie apocalypse, but I think that I could get us where we need to be in order to survive. Final
That's
answer.
Awesome. I love it. Oh, you come to Iowa because Scott insists that we are going to survive. So our families together, we are bound and determined to make it through.
Yes.
Until all the zombies are dead. We've got this. Okay. So another one is, name a song that was a soundtrack of your childhood.
The soundtrack of my childhood. Oh my gosh. Okay. Jesus Freak by DC Talk.
Oh yeah.
Was a big, like, any like middle school, like any youth group, like road trip or anything. Anytime we had to pile into the 15-passenger van. This is like, I grew up like youth group, all the things. So, that was a big one. What else? I am going to show my age, but I, in middle school and high school, was a big Justin Bieber fan.
Oh yeah.
And so, yeah, One Time by Justin Bieber was my middle school and high school.
That was the one that you just played on repeat.
On repeat.
Over
also,
over
One
again.
Less Lonely Girl. I was really convinced that I would be the One Less Lonely Girl. Like, I would listen to it and just as if I was the One Less Lonely Girl, but it didn't quite pan
That's
out
awesome.
How I thought it would.
So mine are like, you know, Michael Jackson. So I'm really dating myself. Like, Michael Jackson, Beat It, and Billie Jean. Like, I remember vividly the moment when Michael Jackson moonwalked across the stage at the Grammys. And back then, like, there was no, you couldn't like watch it again. You couldn't like go look it up on YouTube. You just had to know in your mind, like, this is how it went down. And it was the most glorious thing ever. And there, like, you had one chance to see it. And so, like, I loved that so much. And I loved Madonna. Vogue was like the song that I would play on repeat. So see, I'm really, really dating myself. So just you get nothing on me. Different. But the reason I mean, I know you were probably looking for like serious encouragement, like something. But I'm telling you, talking about this kind of stuff, like I even imagine just like a bunch of moms getting together and like, let's not take ourselves too seriously. Let's just ask ourselves some of these questions and go through it together and have fun. Like while the kids are on the jungle gym or at the pool, like just having a little bit of fun with it. And I think sometimes that as Christians, we take ourselves so seriously.
You're so right. Yeah, you're so right.
And just to have fun and, you know, talk about the weird, quirky things and have people wonder about, like, what is wrong with us? Now, like, why are we so weird? Like, I don't care. I've gotten to the age of, I don't care. I'm just that weird.
Yes. Now I wish we would have just done that this whole episode. Just ask me weird questions, because that's so much fun.
We can do part two.
Yes.
It is so fun. That's what I mean. Like, you know, but I mean, I think the other stuff is really valuable. We did need to talk about that, Jenna. I mean, those questions were amazing. And we hope as you're listening that it just blessed you richly.
Absolutely.
And that you see why it matters. Yeah. Also, it's okay to like, just think about like, I mean, I have a question in here and maybe you'll want to edit this out, Jenna, but I ask a question. Have you ever peed in the woods?
Oh.
Like that is
yes,
in
I have.
Stuff I'd only tell God. So see, we don't take ourselves too seriously and I won't make you answer that question, but it's in there.
Yeah. Well, I'll answer it. I have peed in the woods. Yep.
And because we're going to have to learn how to potentially do that when we're surviving the zombie apocalypse, because we do not know whether our plumbing is going to work. So I feel like it's a skill. It's a survival skill that you will be able to use later on.
Yeah.
In the event of a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Growing up, we used to go to the sand dunes. And so I've actually peed in sand, which is, I would rather pee in the woods than pee in sand personally, but peeing in the woods felt like a luxury compared to that. So yes. So funny. I just love those questions. I'm like, if you have any more for me, we can do this because this is so fun.
Well, let me give you one more.
Okay. One more.
I'll find one more question just for the fun of it. This one. There's a whole section on weird things.
Okay.
So like the weirdest text I've ever gotten, the weirdest job I've ever had, the weirdest person I've ever known, the weirdest place I've ever visited. But this is the one I've got for you.
Okay.
The weirdest thing I've ever eaten.
Ooh. I've eaten octopus.
Oh, wow.
Which is funny because I'm not a seafood person at all. I don't like seafood, but I have tried octopus.
Were you doing it because like you felt like you had to, or you wanted to be daring, or what were you thinking?
I was at like a Japanese Asian restaurant, and I think it was like one of my friend's birthday, and they were everyone was trying it, and I was like, sure, I'll try it. And actually, it was the most. Like, I don't know if you've ever eaten octopus, but it was the most non-seafoody seafood I've ever had. Like, it was actually, because I don't like seafood because of the texture, but it was actually manageable.
Is it kind of
so
rubbery?
I didn't eat it.
It looks kind of rubbery.
Was, yeah.
Yeah.
Rubbery and, like, a little bit tougher than, like, the sliminess of, like, normal seafood. So
like, how did you get past the tentacle situation? Because, like, if something looks a little too much like the way it looked in life, then I get stressed out. Like I can't eat fish that has the eyes on it, you know, or like the skin, like it just kind of freaks me out when the eyes are staring at me on the plate.
I don't remember exactly how it was prepared. I don't remember if it was like the meat from the inside or I can't imagine that I would have eaten it just straight up. Tentacle, because I'm the same way. Like if it's looking at me, I don't want to eat it. If it looks like anything other than just meat, I'm no thank you on that. So yeah, I don't remember exactly how it was prepared, but I don't know. I think I just popped it in my mouth and thought about it later.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, get yourself some octopus tonight.
Octopus. I'm not a very adventurous eater, so I'm glad that I had that answer. Because
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Oh, and I've eaten crickets.
Whoa. Now that's next level weird. That's impressive.
Yeah. I did that on a youth group mission trip We were, yeah.
Were they like chocolate like, covered or anything, or we're just going straight for the old?
They were like dried. I think they might have been chocolate covered, but they might have just been like salted. I don't remember. Yeah.
Yes, a little dark chocolate on my cricket, please, and then a dash of sea salt, please. That'd be great. Thank you very much.
Caramel. Yes, yes. Okay, well, I have absolutely loved getting to chat with you. Thank you for the laughs, for the wisdom. You just bring the full party with you, and I'm here for all of it. I would love it if you could tell us, where can we connect with you? Where can we pick up a copy of Stuff I'd Only Tell God? Give us all the information on
you. Yeah. So you can find me at Jennifer Dukes Lee on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. I'm trying to make my way in the TikTok world. And then I also have an account called Stuff I'd Only Tell God on Instagram. And that's really a great place to start if you want to begin to journal, you want some inspiration ideas, maybe just kind of look at the inside of the journal and to see if it's something that you might like to try out. So that might be a good place for you to start. As for where to get the book, just wherever you get your books, whether that's Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Target.com, Walmart.com, those kinds of places.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for joining us, Jennifer. I'm just so, so grateful for you and so grateful that we got the chance to chat today.
Well, thank you.
If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.